Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to The Corbett Report. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. You are tuned into Solutions Watch, where I like to highlight ideas that will hopefully change your life for the better and the world in general for the better, if all goes well. And I have an interesting idea for you this week and an interesting conversation lined up with someone who is a new guest to the program. That is Philomena Johanny, who is a staff attorney at Judicial Watch, and she is an expert on constitutional and government accountability. And that's going to be a tall order, so let's see what we can do about that. Philomena Johanny, thank you very much for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's a great pleasure to talk to you and your guests, and your people.
Yeah, excellent. All right, well, let's talk about yourself. So as I say, you're a staff attorney at Judicial Watch. How, when, why did that come about? What is it you do there? How did you get into this line of business in general?
I feel like it's a long time coming. I don't know if I, when I went to law school, I was always interested in basically civic accountability and freedom as much as possible. So I had followed Judicial Watch's work for a long time and knew that they were digging into what the government was usually trying to cover up or things that the government should be doing that they weren't, or they were doing that they shouldn't. And really, it's just been a grace that I ended up at Judicial Watch because, especially so soon in my career, I graduated in 2020 from law school and went basically straight into doing nonprofit and constitutional litigation and then FOIA, which is what we're here to talk about.
Yes, we are here to talk about FOIA. And I'm assuming, well, there's probably a lot of people in the audience, people like myself who aren't American at all, and even some Americans who may have heard this term FOIA, but don't exactly know what it is. Can you tell us what is FOIA?
Absolutely. FOIA is one of the things that the government, I would say, Congress has done well in the last 60 years, I think. It was in 1966 that it was passed. Actually, over, all the bureaucrats obviously were absolutely against it, and the agencies were absolutely against it because it meant that they would have some kind of magnifying glass over them, which is the last thing that a big government wants or a growing government wants. So FOIA is the federal legislation that makes records that the government makes in their ordinary course of business open to the public. And the goal of that was transparency for the American people. And that's based on the baseline principle, a fundamental right, actually, in the words of Congress in 2007 when they updated it, that we have a right to know and that we cannot be governed by the consent of the governed if we have no informed consent. So this is the bedrock for FOIA. And so this is the federal FOIA, and all states have some form of public records law as well, so that you can dig into what your state is doing, your cities and your counties and such like that.
Right. So correct me if I'm wrong, it's Freedom of Information Act, right?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Yes. In states, it goes by a number of names. Sometimes there are sunshine laws or public records acts laws or, you know, something along those lines, but you can look them up and they'll be there.
And this is funny, but actually, as a Canadian, I know there is a Canadian equivalent. I believe it is called Access to Information, but off the top of my head, I don't know. I know FOIA because I spend a lot of time, yes, I guess, looking at American political processes. Anyway, that's kind of funny. But tell us about the process of filing a FOIA request. What does that look like? What does that mean? What kind of records can be FOIA'd?
Those are some very good questions. And the process basically begins with identifying what you want to know from the government. And we always say that something that, you know, obviously we have lots of questions for our governments and for our officials, but what we ask for FOIA when we make a public records request, we're asking for a record that's already in existence. We can't just ask a broad question or even, a question that we would like the government to answer for us outside of the record. So they shouldn't have to make a new record to send to you. You're asking for a record that's already in existence, which can be anything from communications, like emails between one person in the government and someone outside or inside the government, or policy guidance or all kinds of things like that. So the first thing you'd want to do is figure out what it is you're looking for, and that takes some investigation, of course. So the best FOIA requests come out of some good investigation leading up to that. And from there, you would identify which agency would have the record that you're looking for. So that an example could be a school district in your state, or it could be the Department of Justice. That's another big one that we're constantly trying to get information out of, constantly suing to get information out of. And then from there, you would send your records request to a designated records office. These are all available on the websites online, and they're supposed to be laid out so that they're moderately user-friendly. Unfortunately, FOIA is, for being a simple law, is pretty convoluted when it comes to seeing it through to the end where you get the information you're looking for. Most agencies on the state level and on the federal level have templates that you can use to send in your records request. So some things that are important to include in your request, so the elements of a request, you'd want to keep the scope of your request as narrow as possible. And if it's on the broad side, they will ask you, when they're responding to you, to narrow your request so that you're not asking for something that they would have to sort through tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of documents to find what you're looking for. And so often that would be narrowing by a time duration. And I think the rule of thumb is around 2 years if possible. Beyond that, they will take a long time to give you the information if they, whatever they give you. But if you know generally what it is you're looking for and it's within a certain span of months, for instance, you could put those into your request so that they know exactly, well, they know exactly where to look and which time duration to look for. Another very important thing to add in your request would be a request for a fee waiver, because one of the government's most often used obstructions, as it were, of FOIA, is obviously they don't want you to have all this information, typically, is that the cost of production can be quite high. They're supposed to be reasonable and they're supposed to be minimal. And depending on if you're looking at a state FOIA or a federal FOIA, those amounts will change. Some states, it's very, it could be cheaper. In other states, it can stack up. So that's one of the benefits of working at Judicial Watch, is that we're basically a grassroots funded organization that's been doing this for long enough that people know if they want information out, it's, you know, coming to Judicial Watch and donating to us so that we can use those funds towards getting these documents out. That's really big. Obviously, include your contact information and keep track of all the communications that come back and forth from the government. So those are the basic elements of what would be in your FOIA, in your request.
Well, I want to talk about Judicial Watch and the successes and or failures it's had in FOIAing various information. But before I do, some couple of questions about that process. So what are the legal requirements for the government's response to these requests in terms of, do they have to respond within a certain amount of time, and what records can they keep back from access to from compliance with such a request?
Very important questions. They are limited in time. It depends on, you know, if you're going to your state request, you're going to have different set limits, but typically it's supposed to be within something like 10 or 20 days. Or in some states, it's like within a reasonable time. For the federal government, it's they're supposed to respond to you within 10 days of your request with a production. If it is what they consider a complex request, then they can take up to 20 days. Do they ever give you documents in 10 to 20 days? Not in my experience. So usually they say, oh, this is very complex or this is complicated, so we'll have to get back to you, we'll put you on a track, and we've assigned your request this particular tracking number, and so you felt like you're handled in the first, you know, couple weeks. But it usually takes, what we do actually mostly is sue them because they did not give us the documents that we were looking for. They either gave us nothing, or they did not respond at all during the time period, or they gave us some kind of an incomplete response during that time period. And we say, under FOIA law, you are required to give us something in the first, you know, basically an answer to our request in the set time period, and you failed to do that. So you failed to follow your responsibilities under FOIA. But it is a waiting game, and it is a practice of diligence and perseverance to actually get documents out of the government, and it does take suing them often to do that. But there's a lot of information you can get if you you know, maybe you don't have the funds to sue. Most people don't. So I would suggest reaching out to an organization that can request these things more seamlessly. Maybe they have more experience, like Judicial Watch. Get in touch with me. I'd be happy to work with you in some investigations. There are also organizations in every state that are looking for certain information. They're dedicated to certain topics, like children's health or school, you know, freedom. And those organizations might actually be exempt from some of the fees because they are educational or they're media organizations. So partnering up with some of those can be very helpful, not only for sharpening your request ahead of time, but also for, you know, working through what happens afterward and possibly suing. So, sure. Yes, there will be delays.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't say understandable, but it's perhaps to be expected. But okay. All right. So tell us about some specific examples, either cases that you've been involved with personally or that Judicial Watch has been involved with over the years, specific successes that you've had with FOIA.
So I would say that Judicial Watch actually came into prominence early on. It was in the 90s because they were founded in 1994. So we just hit our 30-year anniversary this summer. But it was over the Clinton scandals, of which there are, you know, legion. But documents that came out about the Clinton emails ahead of the election with Trump came out through Judicial Watch's FOIA requests. And that had a massive effect, obviously, on the election and may have ended us where we ended up with Trump in 2016. But over the years, I mean, if you ever go to Judicial Watch's website, our archive is massive. And those aren't even, that's a lot of what we've discovered through FOIA, but it's really not exhaustive. And there's just so much out there that we sue every day on some new FOIA request that either wasn't responded to. But we do get a great amount of documents over time. And those have come out in all kinds of press releases and situations like, you know, about different Biden-Harris administration foibles or, you know, accidents that they wanted to cover up. And one example is a case I've been working on recently was working with the America Transparency Project, trying to get royalty payments paid by Health and Human Services via the National Institute of Health to its employees, the federal scientists, on different licenses that are sent out, basically that are used by third-party licensees. How much money are they getting based on this work that they're doing, and what kind of conflicts of interest are arising from that? Obviously, something that your viewers have been plugged into for a long time, especially since COVID. But Judicial Watch has a whole report on COVID-19 related discoveries that came out through FOIA. So we do get all kinds of records that can be very revelatory to the American people. And hopefully people will do something with that information and talk to their congressman and run for office, which, great, let's do it. Yeah.
Did you hear about the recent scandal with NIH, the National Institutes of Health, and the FOIA lady? Did you hear about that?
The FOIA lady. No, so, I haven't, actually.
So apparently there was some FOIA requests for information surrounding some correspondence that Anthony Fauci had and some people that he was corresponding with. And through those responses, FOIA responses, emails were found in which certain people who were communicating with Fauci were talking about, for example, quote, "I learned from our FOIA lady here how to make emails disappear after I am FOIA'd,
but before
the search starts, etc., etc." These emails were uncovered as part of the FOIA process. I imagine there are people in government who don't enjoy responding to FOIA, right?
Oh, absolutely. The funny thing we come across, and it's not really funny, honestly, it's terribly sad, but we come across all the time is that they say, oh, we don't have the people or the resources to answer this quickly, so we might take, say, this isn't our case, but the Pfizer documents case, this will take us almost 100 years to get you all this information because we are short-staffed. But then if you look at their budget requests to Congress, they're asking for money to pay for lawyers to fight FOIA requesters instead of asking for people to help process FOIA so that we can get the information out to the American people, which obviously shows their colors and, you know, a bright spectrum. But yes, there are many tactics they use to evade, but there's still always something out there that they missed. So, and we learn from it as best we can.
Anecdotally, I've also heard the opposite from some journalists over the years, people who do this quite frequently, who talk about, for sometimes you will contact a certain agency or a certain archivist at a certain place, and they will be happy to walk you through and help you with the process and get information to you because, hey, they're actually doing something for a change. So I imagine sometimes the response might be surprising.
That's true, especially maybe at the agencies that aren't getting as much of the hot seat. Like the Department of Justice is obviously professional at this, but maybe there's some other agencies that are smaller, less often FOIA'd, who are just like happy to get a little attention. They're like, absolutely. And obviously, not all federal employees are evil. Weird. But yes, there are some good people in there who are actually interested in the freedom of our country or the longevity of our republic. So yeah, they actually might want to help you. Yeah.
And I imagine even sometimes in the failure of FOIA, when you don't get the documents you want, there is still, as you say, there's the opportunity for lawsuit and discovery and for various getting information out through the courts, which may or may not be successful. But I will note, for example, long-time listeners of the Corbett Report might remember Jesse Trentadue, whose brother was killed as part of the OKC bombing plot, etc. And he was trying to get information out from, he's been trying to get information out from the FBI about the OK bomb investigation for years and years and years. And as part of that, and this was almost a decade ago now, 2015, I have an article here, FOIA trial offers rare look into how FBI searches records and responds to requests. Because as part of the FOIA request that Trentadue was putting in for example, the FBI, we know that they have the footage of the Ryder truck being parked outside of the Murrah building, but they can't find it. Look, it's gone. Who knows where it went? And so the judge in that particular case literally said, simply put, the government lied to the court and ordered FBI to talk about, to basically open up the records and show how they were searching for them, etc. So even failures can be successes in a certain way. Do you have any experience with memorable failures in your work?
Well, I will say that because I've only been really practicing FOIA for a few years, my memorable failures are on the very small side so far, and they're in cases that are still, you know, we haven't gone all the way yet, so there's plenty of time for a court to fix a problem that's happened below. But I will say what you said is absolutely true. Many times there's something in the process that they think that they've covered there, they've redacted what they don't want you to know, but there's so much you can learn from even just the framework of how they've laid it out, or things that they thought maybe weren't as big red flags to them. So because they can see all of it, right? But you might get the yellow flag that's still pretty serious and you can do something about. But absolutely, there are things like that where they cover up a few things and then you still learn a whole lot from it. So I will say that I heard a statistic about a year ago that Judicial Watch's FOIA litigation is something around 80% effective. So we end up getting a lot of the documents that we push for. We just have to keep pushing for them. So,
and you know, specific examples are going to escape me at the moment, but I absolutely can think of times when I know that documents have been requested from different agencies at different times, and they will provide different redactions to the same document, journalists will be able to compare them, for example, and basically uncover the whole document because they didn't redact this part and they didn't redact this part. So you never know what you're going to get, really. It's life is like a box of chocolates, the Forrest Gump approach to FOIA, I suppose.
Exactly. Yes, and we requested the same thing from a couple different offices before, and one of us would give us something that's fairly redacted, like it's just big white or black, you know, boxes over everything, and the other one gives us a lot more information. And the funny thing is that basically the government is only supposed to redact or withhold parts of documents or documents based on a set list of exemptions. And they might give you the exemption that they're claiming is triggered. And then when you have the other side where you're looking at the information that they said was triggered by the, you know, national security or, you know, investigative documents or something like that, you're like, that's obviously not national security related. It's, you know, an embarrassing gif or something like that. So yeah, that is There are always some little laughs in there, but, you know, it just shows you.
Now, is there, what accountability can be had for that? When you demonstrate that something was inappropriately redacted, is there any accountability that can be had for that?
There's supposed to be. Honestly, in the legal process, the accountability is that you might get your attorney costs or your litigation costs covered if the agency is shown to have operated in bad faith, or if they were hiding things basically that they shouldn't, which is, you know, bad faith. But really, you don't get a lot of, I don't see a lot of people going to jail or losing their jobs or being fined for covering up this information, because it's honestly their status quo. Yeah. So you do get to the bottom of it, though, eventually, and there's funny little quirks like that that might really work out for you. And we have to remember that I think we're on the side of good. So, you know, truth is a good thing. So,
it will all reminds me, I should follow up with Trinidu and find out where that stands, because even his case was, I was following it a decade ago. I think one of the things we're tap dancing around here is the cynical realists in the audience will be saying, well, of course, FOIA is, you know, it's never going to, the government is never going to hand you the real stuff. They're just going to hand you, you know, just nonsense filler. So I think there's a number of ways to address that point. One of which would be, I will point people to the Transparency 101 Judicial Watch FOIA Handbook, which is available at judicialwatch.org. I'll put the link in the show notes, in which they address this directly. They say, for example, do these requests for information accomplish anything to bring about more ethical conduct and accountability for decisions made by the Washington elite? Do they have an impact on the lives of real people? Yes. Through FOIA in the 1990s, Americans learned about the selling of Commerce Department trade mission seats to Democratic Party and Clinton administration campaign contributors who happened to have connections to Chinese military intelligence and agents of espionage. They revealed the Clinton administration's efforts to use IRS audits to intimidate adversaries and detractors. Americans used FOIA to obtain lists of almost 300 Saudi subjects, including members of the bin Laden family, which the Bush administration allowed to leave the country shortly after 9/11 with little or no questioning by authorities. After the anthrax attacks in the fall of 2001, postal workers in the Washington, D.C. area learned the United States Postal Service knew the Brentwood Mail Processing Facility was contaminated with anthrax at least 4 days before they chose to close it. Over the years, Americans have learned about the lack of security at nuclear laboratories and controversial details of the John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King assassinations, all using information received through FOIA. And as just one example of that that I'll point to, an article that came out a couple of years ago about the secrets of the JFK assassination archive, talking about a FOIA request that found out more about CIA officer George Ioannidis and his connection to Oswald and what happened in Cuba and Mexico City and all of that craziness that was swirling around the JFK assassination, that proved, at the very least, proved that the American intelligence agencies had been lying to the American public for decades and decades and decades. So, again, perhaps no surprise there, but it's good to have these documents and to actually secure them through FOIA. So what would you say to those cynical people in the audience crossing their arms and saying, it's not worth it, I'm not going to try?
Well, actually, I think that the list that you just read off is a great answer to them, because obviously those are things that we wouldn't know if we hadn't used FOIA. So I would say that anybody can use FOIA. It's built for the American people. Yes, there are going to be obstructions. Yes, they're going to try to slow roll that information coming out to you so that by the time you get it, it seems like it's old news and it's not something you have to act on now. But it will eventually come out, like the JFK stuff that we will be continuing to find out now, many, many years later. Hopefully with 9/11, stuff like that will continue to come out. And once they consider not so hot button a topic, you know, that's when things might start showing up. Absolutely. That list of things you just mentioned is perfect. And I'm glad you wrote those off. So yeah, there's a lot that can be done. And these are the types of documents that we can get out. And they do have an impact on the way that we see our government, the way that we, who we might be voting for, you know, who we're campaigning with, and which policies that we want to fight or promote. So absolutely, there's so much that can be done, and it just takes some diligence, and anybody can do it.
Awesome and empowering. So what are you working on at the moment, and or what would you like to see people FOIAing for? Do you have any ideas for people out there who might want to have a try at this?
Absolutely. Personally, I've been doing some FOIAs into, these are kind of, you know, maybe not the main political interest at the moment, but especially coming up to the election in D.C., everyone's so focused, which is great. But I've been looking into foster care situations around the country in different states where they're basically getting rid of different foster parents and foster families because of their beliefs. And these are not radical beliefs. They're, you know, long loved and cherished beliefs, you know, Christian beliefs. And then there are children who don't have anywhere to go. For months and months, they're staying in the, like, in the agency building or being put up in hotels because they don't have anywhere to go, when there are so many families who are ready and willing and hoping to take care of these children. So obviously these are policy decisions, and usually they're related to, you know, how much pride the family is willing to show, or whether or not they're willing to indoctrinate their foster children with whatever the current propaganda is, if it's critical race or if it's, you know, transgender, you know, stuff. There's a lot of that. But other than that, I'm also working on trying to get some body-worn camera footage out of the Metropolitan Police in D.C. from what happened on January 6th, because that story has a lot of big holes in it, and we're working on that. Working on that as well. Discovery in that case is ongoing. So those are just a couple little examples, but, you know, stay tuned. Check into Judicial Watch's website and their press releases almost every day with new things that we're looking into. I think something that I personally want to get into, and I haven't yet really delved fully into it, is the food and drug and pharma conflicts of interest that are poisoning the country and our children, and all these crazy statistics about the numbers of sicknesses and autoimmune diseases that were absolutely not remotely this high just, you know, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. And that can't be by accident, because it is so covered up by media. So that's something I really feel strongly about. And it's not getting a lot of focus because it's not politically very sexy, but, you know, it's absolutely fundamental. They're attacking our spirits and they're attacking our bodies. So you have to look at both of those.
Exactly right. And this is the thing. It doesn't have to be whatever is the hottest topic of the moment. It's whatever you are interested in personally. And if you're an American, then this is your government and it's your information, right? So why on earth would you hesitate to at least request it? What's the harm in at least requesting the information that's yours, right, guys? Well, let's find out. And I know I have worked with all sorts of FOIA materials over the years in the reporting that I've done. And if memory serves, isn't even the pictures of the dancing Israelis that came out 20 years after the events of 9/11, wasn't that part of a FOIA request, etc.? I know I've worked with FOIA documents from Judicial Watch before, so they do make a difference. And you will be surprised on things that will come out sometimes. And it takes some investigator who had the gumption to ask for certain documents and put the pieces together to be able to find it. So I hope more people will take it up, at least look into it. And as I say, not everyone in the audience is American, but whatever country you're in, you probably have something similar in your country. Learn about it. Maybe I should learn about access to information in Canada and or the equivalent in Japan. Why not? But hey, an underutilized tool. So it's an interesting thing to think about. Any final words you want to leave with the viewers with today?
I try to think of leaving people with hope, because this is just one of those tools that we have. So that we don't have to always trust what they're telling us, and only what they're telling us, and only what the media reports. We actually can dig into it ourselves. And even though it takes time, you get results and you get answers. And the other thing is that there are a lot of organizations who are using FOIA, trying to get this information out to the public and out to people who want to know more and want to do something about it. So even if you're not personally doing FOIAs, which, try it, you know, what's the harm? Pay attention to the organizations that really are working on this and try to take what they pull out and do something with it. So thank you so much for having me and for letting me talk to your audience. One of the coolest audiences on the internet, I'm absolutely sure.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you being here. Let's direct people to judicialwatch.org. Obviously, I'll link that up so that people can find out more about that organization. And thank you for your time. Thank you for doing what you do. And absolutely, if you find any interesting information that you think I should be covering, send it along. I'll be happy to share it with the audience. Thank you for your time, Philomena.
I appreciate it so much. And I will send you a couple of resources so that you can link to them in your show notes for people to find templates so that they can do their own FOIA requests.
Excellent. Thank you.
So thank you.